Hello and welcome to the debate right here at Press TV. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, try and try again seems to be the motto of those determined to bring down the Syrian government. After 2 years of not being able to overthrow the government of Bashar al-Assad, the so-called Friends of Syria and their backers are now openly trying to bring down Damascus, with London and Paris are now directly involved in arming the insurgents. Now, as the bloodshed continues and the Syrian infrastructure continues to be attacked, many Syrians may be saying, with friends like these, who needs enemies?
Amateur videos depict Syria as a country turned into rubble. On the surface, it looks as if it's a fight between a repressive government and a resistance movement fighting for freedom. Some even call the fighters Mujahideen.
They see the ones who are really purely fighting for the Sharia, not for democracy, not for freedom or secularism, all of which are anathema to Islam and Muslims, are the Mujahideen.
But others see the situation in a broader prospect.
What we're seeing here is a late stage in this master plan that Wesley Clark, when he returned from being Supreme Commander of Allied Forces in Europe, learned when he returned to the Pentagon, where another general informed him that there was a plan to destabilize 7 Arab countries in the next 5 years.
One could make a difference between these two types of thinking by looking at the recent comments by Western officials. This week, Paris and London, that are arming the insurgents, called on Europe to lift an arms embargo on the foreign-backed insurgents to help them fight the Syrian government.
We want the Europeans to lift embargo on their weapons. This doesn't mean that we want to go to a total war. We believe a political transition must be a solution for Syria, but we have to put pressure and show we are ready to support the opposition.
The call was echoed by the U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, who implicitly showed that Washington agrees with providing the militants with weapons. However, during his visit to Saudi Arabia, he confirmed that some factions in the opposition are not in line with U.S. interests.
There is a very clear ability now in the Syrian opposition to make certain that what goes to the moderate, legitimate opposition is in fact getting to them.
So far, most of the EU governments have not shown an encouraging response to the idea of arming the insurgents. They think the weapons flow could spark an arms race in the region.
Any decision to lift an arms embargo, you need to consider the implications of that. In the end, you always need a political process, whatever else you might do.
Russia has called the move to arm insurgents a breach of international law. Despite all that, the facts indicate that the foreign-backed insurgents have already got the weapons and training. This week, an unnamed opposition commander revealed that a group of militants who have received advanced training from American officers in Jordan have returned to Syria. They've reportedly been trained to use heavy weaponry, including anti-aircraft and anti-tank weapons. In another development, Damascus has warned of insurgent activities in Lebanon and said it would strike their hideouts if the Lebanese army fails to act. It seems that after 2 years of behind-the-curtain attempts to overthrow the Syrian government, the equation has changed so much that the Western and regional countries backing the insurgency have had no choice but to enter the conflict directly.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, Representative Dignity and Human Rights and Peace Organizer, Dr. Randy Short out of Washington, and the founder of Hezbollah Tahrir, UK
Hashim.
Branch, Sheikh
Hello,
Omar
Marcy.
Bakri, out of Tripoli, Lebanon. Well, welcome both of you to the program. Well, let me start this off in Tripoli, in Lebanon, with Sheikh Bakri. Now, the initial attacks were less blatant, but now the U.S. and its Western and Persian Gulf allies are pulling out all the stops and are sending money and arms to the insurgents. Is this a sign that the insurgency in general is progressing, or is the whole situation just getting more desperate?
I strongly believe the Mujahideen in Syria are doing very well on the ground. They are well equipped. They was able to obtain many weapons from the Syrian armies. They take it, you see, by their own ways. And now, I think the Western powers are worried about the amount of the Mujahideen and the amount of those whom they like to call them Al-Qaeda, they are really flourishing all over Syria. Even the official army admitted that the Mujahideen in Syria now are the main, the people controlling the grounds, and they are the main fighters against the criminals Bashar al-Assad. I think the British government and the French and the American, they try to jump on the wagon in order to obtain really some seat, if you like, on the changes taking place. They are so worried, you see, about the Islamists to be in power. But I strongly believe Jabhat al-Nusra and the Mujahideen in Syria, those who fight against the Syrian regimes, are doing very well. They are better off without the interference of those enemy to Islam, like the British and the French governments. Having I said that, the people of Syria in general and the Philistine armies in particular, they are really people fight for the freedoms and fight for liberating themselves from the dictator Bashar al-Assad. But at the same time, they must admit that there's a lot of Mujahideen from all over around the world who they came to support our Muslim brothers. There's a lot of Mujahideen from the Syrian people who
okay.
are really
Sheikh Bakri, let me just jump in here with just something that you just said, that you basically said the al-Nusra front and others who you support, they do not need any of these entities' support. However, we see that the United States, we see that the UK, we see that even Paris now wants to get in on it, that all of these entities are supporting them and have been supporting them from the beginning, either monetarily or with weapons. So are they working together or are they not?
They are not at all. Those people, Islamists, they disbelieve in, they fight against America and the French and the British.
So all
this
right.
matter is fact. The only question, they joined the struggles a little bit late, only 6 months ago, after the Syrian regime has committing all different type of atrocities and crimes in the name of the Mujahideen.
Okay, let me turn to Washington, Sheikh Bakri. Let me get our other guests in on this discussion, Dr. Randy Short. Dr. Short, your take on what Sheikh Bakri has said, that basically he's saying that it's the Mujahideen that have been involved in this from the very beginning, and they do not support or work together with the United States or with the UK. Your take on what exactly is happening on the ground?
You'll have to pardon me. I couldn't hear what he was saying, but if your summary that he's saying that they're not working with the United States, I need to pray for his memory. I need to pray for his recollection of the facts. Even these nation states called Lebanon and Syria were created by France and Britain and have been in a vortex of conflict of imperial powers and neo-colonial powers, whether he would like to be honest about it or not. So, you know, one can confabulate history, can confabulate because they have an ideology or a desire to get rid of the government of Syria, but that won't nullify the Macmillan effort to get rid of the government of Syria in the 1950s, or other actions that have been taken, or the United States invasion of Lebanon in the 1950s, or Israel playing Christian Maronites against the Sunni and Shia in Lebanon, and so forth. So this whole region is tampered with on a continual basis, going all the way back to 1908, when the British Empire realized that petroleum would supersede coal, and that oil, the petroleum, was in places like Iran and Iraq. And this is all about geopolitical control and power. And unfortunately, the government of Syria, which was created by the Ba'athists and others, people have been handed countries that were designed to fail by the Sykes-Picot Treaty and the Treaty of Sèvres and the creation of Lebanon as an entity where they would use religion to make people fight each other. This was a creation
Dr. Short,
of the West.
Let me just stop you right
so
there,
you
because I want to concentrate specifically where the discussion is going right now. What the Sheikh Bahri has said, basically when he was talking about al-Nusra Front, was that this is a representation of the Mujahideen not getting any help from the United States. And I want your perspective specifically on what is happening on the ground in Syria as we speak.
Well, you know, let's be honest. Al-Nusra is identified as a terrorist group. It's some affiliate of Al-Qaeda, but Al-Qaeda was created by the CIA. So how could they not? You know, you can't put an olive pit in the ground and get an orange tree. You can't have groups started by MI5, MI6, CIA, and the French Secret Service, and suddenly it'd be something autochthonous to the people. That's insane.
Okay.
And I don't care if someone disagrees with that. You don't get oranges from lemon seeds. You don't get Western-funded terrorist groups to become nationalist movements for reform in Middle Eastern countries or anywhere else for that matter.
All right. Well, Sheikh Bahri, what are countries like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey, why are they so determined to bring down the Assad government?
There's one thing that is very funny, that somebody said the elephant lies. When the people confront him, the elephant
does not lie. I think, you know, the gentleman who went to Israeli, he doesn't want to accept the fact that the Mujahideen are at war with the American government and the French and the British, and the so-called war against terrorism. It is really, it is not a big fight. I said always the front of the American government. And the same thing all the Arab dictators, and the rest of the power. It's a different break, you know, and let us really speak freedom properly. Let us really admit the Freedom Party in Syria are starting only 6 months ago. Before that, there was not existing there. It was a peaceful uprising. But when they see.
Okay, well, sorry, we're having some audio difficulties. I will go back
when
to
see.
Sheikh Bahri, can you hear me?
I think I could hear what he was saying.
Okay, Dr. Short, hold
yes,
on.
Yes, I can.
Sheikh Bahri, go ahead. Let me see if the audio connection is better right now. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, all that I'm saying, you see, the Mujahideen are fighting for their own duty, their own life. That is obligations upon them to support their own Muslim brothers. Does not need any Western power to interfere. The Western power, they are always in support of the dictators' regimes in the Middle East,
sir,
of the Mujahideen.
Sir, you say that it,
now,
sir, you say
is
that it is, Sheikh Bahri, you say that it is their responsibility as Mujahideen to be involved. I want to know, what is the criteria? What makes it required for them to be involved, for example, in Syria, and let's say not in a country like Saudi Arabia? Can you tell me that?
You see, the uprisings will start wherever the people move. The people move in Tunisia, then they move in Egypt, and tomorrow they will be at Syria, Arabia, in Qatar, in Kuwait, in the entire region. We believe in the caliphate system.
They're moving in Saudi Arabia. They're moving in Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia is the most dictatorial regime.
They're moving in Saudi Arabia. They're moving in Bahrain. It's a double standard. It's a double standard. There's no support for Shia. There's no support for Shia Muslims, right?
Okay, well, Dr. Short, let me get you in on this. And sorry about that. There seems to be some audio difficulties out of Tripoli. Your take on this, because what I wanted the Sheikh to get to, basically, what is the criteria, as he called them, Mujahideen, and having to be involved in Syria? Why do you think that there is a difference between how these countries like Turkey, like Saudi Arabia, like Qatar, is relating to what's going on in Syria as opposed to what's going on in Bahrain or what's going on in Saudi Arabia? Dr. Short?
I'll give you my three answers. One, it's very clear, yes, it's very clear that one criteria for making war against people is that they have to be Shia Muslims. There's some crazy idea, and here I am, a stupid Christian, but Islam is one religion. There's one Muslim Ummah. I get that. They're making war against the Shia all over the world. Secondly, they want to serve the monarchical, fanatical governments that are in bed with the West, that are stealing the wealth of the Muslim community and squandering it on arms and a handful of people. And third, those countries that have any Arab nationalism, the United States and Britain and France and others have been fighting against the true Arab nationalist movement, any true Arab nationalist society. Turkey's not, they're not Arabs. Arab nationalism is under attack. This was a thing that united the people behind Nasser to fight to get a fair price for oil, to get the United States, Britain, and France out. And these people who call themselves servants of Allah are working against fellow Muslims supporting infidels. I'm calling them that. And it's crazy. And they're killing fellow Muslims, playing into a sectarian game with the Shia, who are their brothers. They're being killed in Pakistan, in Bahrain, in Saudi Arabia, in Syria. This is madness. The Prophet, peace be upon him, wouldn't have wanted this. I get that as a Christian.
Okay, Dr. Short, stay with me, Dr. Short and Sheikh Bakri. Let me switch over. All right, stay with me, please. I want to get in some comments, actually, from our viewers on from the Facebook page. Actually, the question then was asked, why did London and Paris try to fan the flames of the deadly crisis in Syria? Let's take a look at one of the comments.
So they're telling us the Syrians need arms to defend themselves, right? Why didn't they arm and finance the Palestinians who are dying for freedom for the last 65 years?
Well, let me turn to Sheikh Bakri. Sheikh, hopefully you heard that question from our viewer. Basically, if you didn't, let me just reiterate it. She said, the viewer said that, so if these people are basically really the ones who are defending, or the Mujahideen, as you call them, why haven't they armed and financed the Palestinian resistance up until now?
Let the British and the French and the American governments and their own armies go to hell. Those people are the founders of Israel. Those people are the forces of the enemy of Islam and the Muslims, the Mujahideen. They are fighting, you know, wherever they are, how much as they can, against the imperialistic power, against those evil, you know, regimes like Saudi Arabia or Iran or Syria or Turkey or Egypt. You know, I think the matter is so clear. I think your guest there, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He mixed between, you see, the fight
for them to do that. No, you don't know what you're talking about. You're so ideologically driven that you would pervert your own religion. You would sanctify the rape of women, the murder of minorities. I mean, what kind of God do you serve? It's certainly not the Allah of the Quran. It is not the God I serve. For when people are doing these kinds of things,
Sheikh Bakri, I want you to answer the question that our viewer has said. Basically, these so-called Mujahideen, and you talked about the Americans, I'm talking about Saudi Arabia, I'm talking about Qatar, I'm talking about Turkey. Up until this time, where have these countries been, or these governments been, as far as the Palestinian resistance? Why haven't they helped their Palestinian brothers?
Because those dictator regimes in Saudi Arabia and others, they are enemies of Islam. They don't want to fight against Israel. They want to fight against the Mujahideen who will fight, you know, against Israel. That's why for years the Mujahideen has been suffering in prisons of Saudi Arabia and in prisons of Syria and Iraq and Iran and all of them. Let us admit it. Now we are coming out. You see, if the Shia wants to align with the Kuffar, with the infidel against Muslims, they can get and fight. So don't try to play Mother Teresa with Bashar al-Assad. He's a general, and him and King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia are the same. It's no different. As far as the Mujahideen is concerned, they are fighting to liberate the entire region, including
Sheikh Bakri, I'm sorry, the audio isn't as clear as we would like it. So Sheikh Bakri, what you're telling me then is basically that Saudi Arabia, basically you are against Saudi Arabia also? Is that what you're saying? Because it was very hard to understand you.
هنديه بين القاعده دخلت الجهاد في اجندا السعودي الرجيم ذا امريكان ريجيم ات ذا امريكان بويز وي نو ذات اتس نو ديفرنت
اوكي سو ذن اف ذس از ذا كيس سير اي اندرستاند وات يو ار سينج سو اف ذس از ذا كيس سير واي دو وي سي سعودي عربيا تركي قطر ذا يونايتد ستيتس اند ذا يو كي all on the side of al-Nusra Front and the so-called friends of Syria. Why are they supporting these groups?
They are not on the side of al-Nusra. They are not. They are being really forced to accept the fact that al-Nusra exists. They are on the side of Christian armies. They are the Christian armies and they are laughing, you know, stop, you know, your guests who are there who doesn't understand the realities. We are the people of the region, we know very well.
Yeah, I understand real well. You need to work in Hollywood because you have an imagination greater than Walt Disney.
Okay, well, Dr.
Yeah, I said it.
Dr. Short, basically, as you've heard... Okay, Sheikh Bakri, what you've heard Sheikh Bakri say, Dr. Short, is basically that al-Nusra is very much independent of these entities. Where does this go right now? We see, one second, please, because I'm running out of time. We see basically, though these entities have said that they support, they want to bring peace to Syria, they want to stop the human rights abuses, we see more and more people being killed every day. We see a total destruction of infrastructure. We see universities, schools, no target is basically off. Everyone and everything seems to be in the target. So what does that mean? What really are they trying to do in Syria, Dr. Short?
If you ask me, because the people have refused, they want reform, but they don't want the reform through other countries coming in. The United States needs reform, but you don't want Mexico bringing in weapons and arms to topple the government here. What they're doing is destroying the country, and what they're going to do is ruin it like Libya if they can, where in the post-conflict, the Syrian government will have to go under the IMF World Bank and become recolonized. They're punishing the Syrian people for being in the forefront against Zionism and being an ally to Iran. What they want to do is destroy the independence, the movement in particular being led by the right leader, Ahmadinejad, and also the Islamic leadership in Iran, which started a revolution that has changed the whole world, and they want to roll it back. And they need to get rid of Syria and show anyone if you support a true Islamic revolution, you will be destroyed. It is a horrible, genocidal, racist, imperialistic crusader attack on 1.5 billion Muslims in the world. And I am embarrassed that there's silence from Christians and other countries who don't show solidarity. We share Abraham, Jesus, and a lot in common. We should stand with them and stop these wars. And what really needs to be is a fair price for the riches and the wealth and the culture that the Muslim world has given to all of us. There would be no Western world without the intellectualism and the gifts of the Muslim world. We should be together as one community, but some people don't want it, and he's wrong. The Saudis are funding these people who want mutas with women and raping and killing. So it's to terrorize people, to say if you don't bow to the Western demonic god of dollars or capitalism, we'll destroy you.
Okay.
It's sad.
And thank you very much. On that note, we are out of time, but I'd like to thank both of our guests from the Dignity Movement, as well as Human Rights and Peace Organization, Dr. Randy Short out of Washington, and the founder of Hezb Tahrir UK branch, Sheikh Omar Bakri, out of Tripoli, Lebanon. Thank you both for being with us, and thank you, viewers, for being with us in another debate, and make sure you join us right here, same time, same place tomorrow. I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing off for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thanks so much, and goodbye.